Let's start with the very clear level or obvious message of today's readings. We have a beautiful prophecy from Isaiah, a promise of a time when God will come, and we have no more need for fear because God will come and bring restoration. He's going to heal the blind, the deaf, the lame, and the mute. He's going to bring water to the desert. It's a messianic prophecy and a beautiful one. In the gospel, we see the prophecy being fulfilled at least for one man, a man who is deaf and mute. Jesus fulfills the prophecy so dramatically that at the end of the gospel, the people are exceedingly astonished, and they're saying, "This man has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." So it's as if the crowd is starting to, it's starting to dawn on them that the prophecy is being fulfilled, at least for one man. Okay, so that's a beautiful prophecy and fulfillment combination. It's something like what we see in the season of Advent. In fact, I think these readings are read in Advent. For sure, this first reading is an Advent reading. A promise of a hopeful coming, and then Jesus fulfills the promise. Now, in a time, in a culture where there's faith, that's enough. It's enough to have a promise from the Word of God, and it's enough for us to trust that Jesus fulfills the promise. But we don't live in a time of much faith. In fact, we live in a time when faith is questioned, if not altogether rejected. And the mindset of most people is God is not around, and he's not really doing anything for anybody. So we have to take care of the world ourselves. Even people who profess themselves to be believers, who say that God did promise this in the prophet Isaiah and that he did come in the person of Jesus and he healed some people, a lot of them will say, but he's not doing it anymore. There's a lot more people who are deaf or mute or lame or blind or any other illness, a lot of people who are infected with COVID-19, and God isn't doing anything about it. In fact, in many people, there is an attitude that says something like this: well, it's okay for you to believe if you want to. Belief gives some consolation to some people, and this is a harsh world, and we all need something to give us some relief. But don't let your belief get in the way of doing good things. That's how people think. That's the secular mindset. Don't let your belief distort your understanding of taking care of medical progress and technology and advancement of science. Now, so we live in a world that is very largely deaf. It's not just one man, but whole societies are deaf. They don't hear what God is saying. They can't see what God is doing. What do you do now? I mean, we got to read the prophet Isaiah every day, but people don't even listen to it. It doesn't mean anything to them. You could broadcast the gospel 24 hours a day, and people who are not believers may not hear it. I remember a line that is attributed to Flannery O'Connor, that Catholic fiction writer from the 20th century. In her writings, there's a lot of really weird strange characters and violent, and you know, a lot of her fiction is really kind of shocking. And anyway, the quotation that I've heard she said is, "To the hard of hearing, you shout. To the hard of hearing, you shout." So that's what she's doing with her fiction. She's she's shocking people. Well, that's what a writer might do. What does the church do? How can we get through to a culture, a society that is hard of hearing, if not altogether deaf? Well, the language that does still speak to people is care, loving care. Charitable actions still speak. Someone might not believe you if you say God is good and merciful and wants to give us eternal life. They'll say, well, I don't believe in eternal life. And you know, what about the people who are in the hospital right now? So if you set up a hospital, or if you take care of the sick, or if you feed the poor, anybody will say, well, gosh, that's at least a good thing. You see, tangible, visible goodness can still break through the blindness, the spiritual blindness and spiritual deafness of the world. It seems that Jesus is doing this. You look at this gospel where he heals the deaf man. We know from many passages in the gospels, he doesn't have to touch anybody. He doesn't have to say anything. He can heal from a distance. But in this case, he does very deliberate, clear, tangible actions. He takes the man away from the crowd. He touches his ears with his fingers. He touches the man's tongue. He spits. He groans out loud. He utters this Aramaic word, ephatha, be opened, as if he's doing everything possible to break through to this deaf man. Now, it's true. The man was deaf. We don't even know what the man was thinking. The crowd brought the man to Jesus. We don't know if he wanted to come to Jesus. So Jesus is doing all these signs to communicate to the man who's deaf. If a man is deaf, you don't talk to him because he can't hear you. You touch him. You communicate in some other way. You touch his ears, you touch his tongue, you groan, you make signs that will still communicate the message. That's what Jesus does here. It seems that the very first word this deaf man hears is ephatha, be opened. And the man is opened, and he can hear and he can speak plainly. How do we know that Jesus said ephatha? Well, the deaf man himself must have said it. This guy touched my ears, he touched my tongue, and he said ephatha, and now I can hear. So it worked. Well, what works now? One of the things that works is, as I say, charitable actions. Today is the feast day of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, or her death anniversary. It's not her feast day because it's a Sunday. But Mother Teresa, because she dedicated herself to taking care of poor people, is a witness that somehow breaks through the spiritual deafness of the modern world. And that's, I think, why God raised her up and gave her charism now. He could have given the charism at other time, but no, he gave this charism in the 20th century, a woman dedicated to care for the poorest of the poor, a community dedicated to care for the poorest of the poor. And people who had no faith at all were proclaiming Mother Teresa a living saint 40 years ago, long before the church, before she died and the church canonized her. People were saying, here's a living saint. This is what a saint does. Saint takes care of the poor. Now, those people with no faith didn't think that it was significant that she spent hours and hours in prayer, but she did. So people with faith say, well, this woman, she's serving God. She's serving God. And because she loves God, and because God told her to serve the poor, she's serving the poor. Love of God and love of neighbor go together. But for people who are spiritually deaf, they don't know that yet. So they have to see, or maybe even receive, charitable actions. It's not that love of God and love of neighbor are two different things. And this is the problem in the church. You know, there's a very great division between the conservatives and the liberals. The conservatives, I'm using stereotypes now, conservatives are all concerned about beautiful liturgies in beautiful churches with beautiful vestments and Gregorian chant. And the liberals are concerned about taking care of the immigrants and stopping the degradation of the climate. And it's as if they're not the same people and they don't speak the same language. Those are political divisions. And I say those stereotypes. Anyone who loves God wants to give him the best. Best prayer, best music, best liturgy, yes. Anyone who loves God authentically also loves his people and wants to take care of them. Take care of the immigrants, take care of the poor, the pregnant women, the prisoners, the refugees. Yes. Now, this idea of love of God and love of neighbor in tangible, visible ways comes out most beautifully in the sacraments. Now, I know non-believers maybe don't see this, but we're believers here. So we should see in the sacraments Jesus doing for us what he did for this deaf man. He enters right into the physical experience of human life. Maybe it's easier for a priest to identify this, because as the minister of the sacraments, I'm always touching people. I know baptisms, you know, you put your hands on the baby, you anoint the baby. I've had this experience many times, putting the oil on the crown of the baby's head and feeling that soft spot in the top of a baby's head. It's a very physical experience. You know, you can even feel the baby's pulse there. And, you know, and babies are very physical. They're not praying. They're not thinking. They're just crying or eating or whatever, soiling their diaper or whatever they're doing. You know, they're just very, very physical. You can't be in the presence of babies and not think of their physical needs. And when you're there for a baptism, you say, here's invisible divine grace pouring down onto this physical child. Water touching his head or her head. Even more physical is the sacrament of anointing of the sick. I'm sure you've all seen that, maybe have received it. The minister puts his hands on the sick person. I can't tell you how many times I put my hands on people. I can feel if they have a fever. Sometimes I can feel if they're cold. Sometimes, you know, putting hands on the head of a person is a very physical experience. And that's a means by which God is giving that person grace. Anointing the forehead, anointing the hands. Sometimes you have to, the hands have got, you know, the IV, or they're full of bandages or something. They're under the covers. How do you get to a person's hands? It's a very physical experience. But that's how the sacrament is given. The sacrament is both physical and spiritual. That's why I'm bringing this up. It's not just physical care, like a medical doctor does, and it's not just spiritual in the sense of invisible. It's invisible grace given through physical means. And this gospel today, it has to make us think of the great gift of the sacraments. Okay. So, to the hard of hearing, you shout. How do we shout? By acts, concrete acts of love for real people. Now, here we are in a pandemic. We're not allowed to touch anyone. We're not allowed to get close to anybody. We have to do all this social distancing stuff. We can't let these practical considerations interfere with love. We have to transcend them somehow. Today's second reading, and again from the great letter of James, gives another practical instruction. We had one last Sunday, if you remember. Last Sunday, we first time we read from James, we had this passage about putting the word into practice. Remember, don't just listen to the word, do it. Don't just be hearers. He said last Sunday, religion that is pure and undefiled is to care for widows and orphans. So you see how he said, religion is to care for widows and orphans. Well, isn't religion to pray, worship God? Yes, but when we worship God, we also care for widows and orphans, like Mother Teresa. Okay, in today's reading from James, he slams prejudice. He criticizes very sharply the partiality, favoring the rich over the poor. Don't do that. That's evil, to favor the rich over the poor. It's a scandal. It does not convey to a culture or a society that's spiritually deaf, it does not convey the gospel. What it conveys is the church is, or these Christians are, prejudiced. So this is a problem here in the Philippines, you know. The rich are always being catered to by the church. The church favors the rich still, even though we proclaim this all the time, but the church favors the rich. So this message of James is important for us. If we're going to shout to the hard of hearing, one of the ways we have to shout is by not favoring the rich, by actually favoring the poor. If you're going to favor anyone, favor the poor. That will get through to the spiritually deaf society, including ourselves. Okay, so it's pretty clear, messages. The clear message is Jesus fulfills the prophecy. He comes to take care of the blind, the lame, the deaf, the mute. He comes to usher in the kingdom of God. How is he doing it? Through the church. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is taking care of the poor. If the church is taking care of the poor, if the church is not taking care of the poor and the sick, if the church is saying, well, let the government do it, well, then we're just as deaf as everyone else. And in fact, we're making it worse because we're making a lot of noise getting in the way of charity. So let us be instruments of God, of the love of God, the mercy of God, the fulfillment of God's plan for the restoration of all people.